Today's Thursday, April 25th, 2019. My name is Tim Albright, and this is the Daily Download.
AV Nation is brought to you by Netgear Business, the networking choice for AV professionals. For more information, go to netgear.com/AVNation.
Today's Daily Download comes from AV Week 380. I am joined by Jeremy Caldera, Tim Trost, and Dan Parisi, talking about intellectual properties and code ownership. Jeremy Caldera starts off talking about the factors that come into play when discussing who owns the code.
My opinion, it's the client, right? They've hired us to do a job. We're doing the job. We're performing it. If I'm doing my job well, then I'm not concerned about them taking my code and giving it to somebody else. At the same time, it's not like this code is so easily just, hey, let's just install it on this job, right? I mean, that's not really how that works, right? I mean, we know that. This stuff is just, it's very customized for the individual jobs and whatnot for there. I don't know. I mean, I could see the intellectual property argument when you're talking about the writing of advanced modules within the code, right? Maybe there's an intellectual property argument to be made there. But I don't think it's for the code itself. Now, it's interesting enough that today, just this morning, my programmer for here came into me and said, hey, we just got this new job. We don't have the source code for that. It's not on the control system like I thought it would be. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I know the other integrator that did it, who we got the job from, and I called them up, and I know his stance on this too. And I said, hey, you know, we got this project now. Can you send me over the code? I had it in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they have the same stance that I have, partially because that's where I learned my stance on control system code, right? Because 10 years ago, I was in the other camp where it was like, no, that you have to pay us to do it, because I was in sales and I wanted to make the sale. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to pay him somebody else, right? But like I said, I've come around to the fact that if I do a good job on that, who cares? You know what I mean? It's not the intellectual property of the individual components of that code. It's just source. It's just code for how it works.
Yeah. Tim, what sort of IT or software idea or software stance can we kind of apply to this part of the AV industry, or is there one?
It's a good question. You got me thinking now. I mean, I would say I agree with the panel on the subject, just to start there. And I mean, if we rewind back to the beginning of this discussion, back into IP and patents, there are other ways to protect something than holding it hostage from the person who paid for it. And so, you know, I think as an industry and more broadly, as we talked about, software is becoming more readily available, more ubiquitous. People have a set of expectations of what they should get when they buy an experience. The software is part of what drives that experience, and they've made that purchase. And I think, frankly, unless it's made explicitly clear in the negotiations that the code isn't included, or, you know, maybe there's a pricing model to be associated with that, whether or not somebody gets the code. But you know, just as a manufacturer, we provide as much as reasonably possible, and in order to make all of the systems work effectively to provide a great user experience for both the person designing and installing the system, as well as the people who are using the system, and we'll protect what we need to protect behind that in order to ensure a competitive advantage.
Thank you for listening to today's Daily Download. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe and comment on iTunes, and also check out all the other fine programming we have here at AV Nation at avnation.tv, avnation.tv.
The network for the AV industry. What are you listening to?
This is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.